Amen, God. Thank you for Steph. Thank you for gifting her to us. Lord, the greatest gift that we have alongside the gift of your own presence in our world is the gift of one another's presence. And so we thank you for Steph. We pray your blessing on her as she opens up scripture, as she opens up her mind and heart, as she takes from her world of journeying and experience and brings to the table those things that will nourish us today. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are open, lives that are willing to be shaped and changed. Amen.
Technology is working. Today we're going to imagine entering into the story of Palm Sunday and getting caught up in the drama of that day. We've done a little bit already. After this, we will explore the idea of the Bible as drama and the way that this invites participation from each of us. Lastly, I'll share a little of my own personal journey with the Bible with you. Let's walk with Jesus and his disciples as they approach Bethpage, Bethany, the Mount of Olives, and eventually Jerusalem. Bethany was the home of Mary and Martha, where Jesus had stayed with his friends and where he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Here's a photo of the Mount of Olives. David had fled this way when he escaped from Absalom, and he had wept as he went up the mountain. Luke 22:29 tells us that Jesus went up from the Mount of Olives regularly, with his disciples to pray, and often spent the night up there. The Garden of Gethsemane was on its slopes, and many Jews are buried on the mount. There were groves of olive trees on the mountain, and these trees were a symbol of hope and peace in Bible times. You might remember the dove that Noah sent out from the ark, who returned with an olive leaf in her beak. I invite you now to put yourself into the shoes of one of the disciples in Luke's account of the Palm Sunday events. Imagine the heat of the day, the dust on your feet, the crowded streets, as many people headed towards Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Then Jesus instructs you to go ahead with another of his disciples and untie a young donkey that has never been ridden. If the owners approach you and ask what you're doing with the donkey, you're instructed to say, "The Lord needs it." In biblical times, donkeys were symbolic of service, suffering, peace, and humility, and also wisdom, as in the story of Balaam and his talking donkey. What is your reaction to be given this assignment from Jesus? How do you feel about untying a skittish young donkey who's never been ridden before? Do you trust that Jesus has the situation under control? Or are you fearful that you'll receive a kick from the donkey, a reprimand from the donkey's owners, or something worse? Perhaps you chat with the other disciple who's with you and encourage one another that surely the Lord must have a plan. Sure enough, the owners approach you and they accept your explanation for taking the donkey to Jesus. Once you bring the donkey to Jesus, you and your friend throw your outer robes over the donkey to make a saddle for Jesus to sit on. The other disciples who are with you do the same. As you travel uphill, ascending the Mount of Olives, people spread their coats on the road to make a path for Jesus on the donkey. The word for coats here indicates the Jewish tallit, or prayer shawl. God had instructed his people to wear this garment throughout the generations in Numbers 15:38. The prayer shawl was a seamless garment with four corners, with a tassel attached to each of the four corners to remind the Jewish people of all the commands of God. This garment has been described as a portable spiritual home. We see that Jesus wore this garment in Matthew 9:20-22, where the woman who had experienced bleeding for many years touched the tassel of his garment and was healed. Upon the collar of the tallit, the Hebrew letters spell "Lord of Lords and King of Kings" as a symbolic reminder of the coming Messiah. Laying down their coats could be seen as a sign of acclamation, just as the Jewish people laid down their cloaks for King Jehu in 2 Kings 9:13, when he was pronounced king. Some of those in the crowd may have recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah and laid down their cloaks in worship to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, as you come near to the place where the road starts to descend the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd begins to shout out and praise God with joy. We have moved from ordinary things like olives, donkeys, and coats to miracles, peace, and glory. Those people who were with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead are sharing their experiences. Some people are shouting out words from the Song of Ascents, which was traditionally sung by Jewish people as they went up to Jerusalem for special festivals and feasts like Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. People are shouting out the words that the angels sang when Jesus was born. May there be peace and glory in the highest heaven. The crescendo of praise grows louder as you descend with Jesus towards Jerusalem. Possibly this is a moment of sensory overload. The noise of the crowd, the colour of the coats spread out, the dust, the heat, the scent of the cut palm branches being spread along the road, as described by Matthew and Mark in their records of the same events. The Pharisees want the noise and commotion to stop. They want Jesus to instruct his disciples to be quiet. But Jesus replies to them that if the people keep quiet, even creation won't be silent, and the stones themselves will cry out. You sense an echo from your knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, something about your king coming to you riding on the colt of a donkey. At the same time, those words of Jesus about stones remind you of some more words from Psalm 118 about a stone that the builders rejected becoming a cornerstone. It's all a bit confusing, the cacophony of sound, the overlapping words and descriptions being shouted out about who Jesus is. Maybe later, after this is all over, you'll have a chance to reflect on this moment and understand what it all means. I'd like us to take a step back now from the imaginative experience that we've taken part in and reflect on approaching the Bible as drama or dramatic theology. Have you ever watched a movie where the director of the film is also a character in the movie? I'm thinking of Taika Waititi and Hunt for the Wilder People, but you might be able to think of other examples. This gives you a picture of what dramatic theology is like. Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Roman Catholic theologian, suggests that we are part of a theodrama, where God the Father is the author of the drama. Jesus the Son is the primary actor, and the Holy Spirit is the director. Who are the main characters in this divine drama? Balthasar states that God is a character in the drama as well, as being its author and director. We also have humanity, endowed with free will, and Christ, who is the mediator and the true character, a model for the others. The other characters on the stage include Israel, the nations, and even the angels and the demonic powers. Dorothy Sayers puts it this way: that God should play the tyrant over man is a dismal story of unrelieved oppression. That man should play the tyrant over man is the usual dreary record of human futility. But that man should play the tyrant over God and find him a better man than himself is an astonishing drama indeed. You can see that the disciples in Luke 19 weren't just reading and responding to scripture in their context. They lived and breathed the scriptures as a way of life, in the clothing they wore, in their festivals, and their cultural identity. Walking with Jesus towards Jerusalem was not a two-dimensional event, it was a multi-layered and textured experience, where different objects within the drama were loaded with associations, symbolism, and meaning from past stories. For them, the drama is not lived out merely by listening, but through participation. For example, celebrating the prescribed festivals according to God's instructions, or by risking untying a wild donkey for his master to ride. Entering into the story as drama raises questions for us, such as, why are people shouting scripture from the songs of ascent when Christ is descending toward Jerusalem? We might also wonder why Christ weeps as he continues down the hill and sees Jerusalem, even in the midst of loud praises and happy shouts all around him. What is the shape of Christ's life and his death on the cross, and what shape should our own lives take as we follow him? Entering into the drama is more than just reading scripture as an imaginative exercise. It is looking to find our place in God's big story, to participate, even to improvise, based on the biblical script. Finally, I'd like to share some of my journey with the Bible with you in the hope that this will be helpful for you as you reflect on your own journey with scripture. Karen Smith is a Welsh pastor and university lecturer on the topic of Christian spirituality. She defines Christian spirituality as an ongoing conversation between doctrine and experience. Perhaps you'll be able to recognize these threads of conversation, doctrine, and experience woven together in my story or in your own faith journey. Looking back, I believe that I was first aware of God in creation and through family relationships, before I became aware of God in scripture. Growing up on a farm, my siblings and I were often outdoors in nature, climbing trees, experiencing the seasons, and trailing behind Dad as he went about his chores. Psalm 19 says that creation pours forth speech about God, revealing who God is, and this was my experience. I do have a very early memory of a conversation with my dad when I asked him what God looked like. I think my dad may have directed the question back to me, asking me to describe how I would describe God. My picture of God at that time was that he was a man with a beard driving a tractor. So I basically pictured God as a farmer like my dad. I invite you to consider your own faith journey and think about when you may have first become aware of God's presence. Is this anchored to a relationship, the beauty of creation, or a specific scripture, or something else? To continue, my parents became Christians when I was a preschooler and I started attending our local Presbyterian church. I remember being drawn in by the exuberant and joyful worship, a bit like this morning, and feeling part of the church community. It is difficult to pinpoint one encounter with scripture in particular, but over time my picture of God grew and changed, and scripture helped to shape my own identity as a Christian. I can remember a picture book given to me by my auntie, which explored Bible verses from the Old Testament. One that I remember that seems relevant for today is Isaiah 2:3. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. My dad bought me some Bible reading notes, which I enjoyed using to explore scripture. I remember being part of a fairly traditional Sunday school class and being too scared to speak or ask questions. When I was about 11 years old, I remember performing a drama from Acts 12:12-15 at a church camp. I played the part of Rhoda, who rejoiced when the Apostle Paul was set free from prison. Can you think of some scriptures that formed or shaped your faith journey early on? Depending when you came to faith, it might be later in life too. When I was 16 years old, my great auntie Lorna, who had worked as a missionary in India, passed away. I inherited her King James Bible. This was a significant experience for me, and I can remember poring over the pages, reading through the Bible passages that she had underlined, and trying to make sense of her notes in the margins, which in a very cursive script. I had not known my great aunt well, so in some senses, she was like a two-dimensional character to me. But when she died, I began to see what her focus in life had been and how important the Bible had been in shaping her life. My faith journey continued as I left home and started my teacher training in Auckland. I really enjoyed studying English literature at university, and I was chatting to my roommate, Pam, about how interesting it was to deconstruct and analyse some of the English texts. Pam reminded me that although the Bible is literature, it is above being deconstructed and analysed. I wondered whether Pam was right. A few years later, my flatmate Alexandra asked if I wanted to attend an Alpha course that our church was running. I assumed that we would attend as leaders on the course, helping others with their questions. But Alex said she wanted to do the course for herself and ask all the questions that she'd always wanted to be asked, wanted to ask and never had the chance to do. And so I did the same. And I found it very freeing to be able to ask my own questions about God and the Bible. As I look back over my journey, I can see that my understanding of the Bible has grown most when I've journeyed with others. A foundational time for Murray and I was the 3 years we spent in Adelaide, Australia. We got to know some other couples and young families who seemed to take wrestling with the Bible seriously. They didn't park their brains at the door when they were reading the Bible, but they were open, and they were also open to living out their faith in the community that we were in. Because of this, we were also challenged to engage more deeply with Scripture and to engage more deeply with the world around us. We moved from proof texting and defending our faith with certainty to a more open-ended approach. As Mike Habits says, instead of remaking God and His Word in terms of our experience and reason, we ended up being remade, caught up in the action of the divine drama. Island Baptist has played an important role in helping to shape my understanding of the Bible and given and to move me beyond the understandings of my younger years to a more spacious understanding of the Scripture. This has helped me to grow in my love for God and others. I've found that God is big enough for my questions and that thinking aloud is allowed. Asking questions of God is a means of engaging with Him. I wonder how your own faith journey has been shaped by your questions around Scripture, or has it been shaped by others in our Island community? Being involved with children's ministry at Island means fielding some very interesting and challenging questions from the children at times. These questions were what motivated me to start on my current journey of studying theology at Carey Baptist College. I confess that when I set out, I was looking to find the right answer to the children's questions. But as I have continued, new questions have opened up for me. So while my thinking has become clearer in some areas, I can echo the words of John Robinson, an early separatist pastor who said, "God has yet more light and truth to break forth from God's holy word." I'll leave you with some thoughts from Michael Horton about how we are formed by Scripture and in relationship with others. Of one thing we can be certain, God has given us the greatest show on earth, a drama full of intrigue that is not only interesting but actually brings us up onto the stage, writing us into the script as actors in the ongoing production. It gives us a role that contrasts sharply with the one-dimensional characters and shallow storylines of this present age. And because it is more than a play, putting on Christ involves a lot more than trying on different costumes and masks. Let us go into the Scriptures then to better discover its plot and our own in its light. Let's pray. Lord, with joy we greet your coming today. We lay before you our love and faith, rejoicing that you came in peace to be our King. Come, Lord, and teach us the ways of peace, that we may know the strength of love and the power of forgiveness. Come, Lord, and teach us humble ways, that we may be free of arrogance and without pretense. Thank you for your presence with us in this service. Thank you for giving us the Bible with all of its colour, noise and drama. Thank you for your invitation to us, not to only be spectators, but to enter into your great story and let the drama of Scripture shape our lives. Thank you that you provide companions for the journey and for those within Island who've journeyed with us and continue to do so. Amen.